Hello, and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney. Before this week's episode, a few friendly reminders. New episodes drop every Thursday afternoon.
Opinions and views expressed in this show are not necessarily those of the Arts Asylum, Mutual Musicians Foundation, or KOJH 104.7.
If you have any questions, concerns, or suggestions, please contact us via email at couchchats@gmail.com or find us on Facebook or Instagram at couchchats. And don't forget, that's couch with a K. Please also remember to rate, review, and subscribe on iTunes. Thanks for listening and enjoy the show.
Bye.
Hello, 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 and welcome to Couch Chats with Corey and Courtney.
Hello.
I'm Corey.
I'm Courtney.
And today on the show, we have our great friend Natalie Licardello, or...
Or McGill.
Or McGill.
But nobody ever knows.
Yeah, I know. That's my legal, actual real name. My maiden name is Licardello, and yeah. That's what I registered with the union right out of college, so...
I was over at our friend Nick Utoff and Jessica Alcorn's house last night, and they were talking about that you all spent some time together, I think, the night before.
Oh, yeah.
And they kept using your other last name, but they were never saying your name, and they just kept saying, we're at these people's house.
McGill.
And at some point, my husband and I were like, who the fuck is that? Why do we care? And then finally I was like, oh, Limoncello. Because I think I told you that your name in my phone is Natalie Limoncello.
That's my favorite thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it was weird. Like, so my other life is in insurance. And so my father-in-law was a big insurance, like, everybody in Kansas knows who he was in insurance land. A big broad statement to say. Okay, great. So
welcome to the couch.
Yeah. Insurance Landia. McGill is like
it's a big deal.
It's a thing that you want. And then they don't give two shits what I do in theater.
No. They're like,
job,
talk
so.
To me about insurance.
Yeah. So it's a nice, like, separation.
But, yeah, I look forward to sort of talking about that separation.
Yeah. Oh, you guys hung out on Sunday because you've watched the episode. Mm. I have not seen it yet.
Oh, honey.
I know.
Oh.
I have seen the episode.
Oh, you've seen it now, too. God damn it. I've, like, been trying to... Yeah.
I was very much thinking they would take it a lot farther because that's what they're really good at doing, but they...
There's only eight episodes.
Is it eight or six?
They redefined the length, yesterday or something, right?
For anyone who doesn't know, we're referencing the Game of Thrones.
Yeah, sorry.
But I won't do any spoilers, but
please don't.
No way.
It was nice to see everyone.
Yes.
That's just what I'll say.
Yes. And the fashion.
What was it, 522 days since last episode? This first episode.
I had a baby.
I
gestated and grew and birthed a human being.
Right, who's not small any longer.
Just like a little person.
Yeah.
I think Matt and I were talking about the last time that we watched Game of Thrones, we still had a dog.
Yep,
you know,
that's true.
Like, I mean, and I'm like, I don't have that dog anymore.
Yeah,
right.
That's crazy. Anyway, hi, Natalie.
Hi.
As you can tell, listeners, the fives and tens, we all kind of know each other. So that sort of puts me into my first question. How did you get to the couch today? How, from your perspective, do you know Courtney and myself?
I first met Courtney costuming a show called Say You Love Satan.
That's true.
Probably a billion years ago.
A billion, at least.
2009.
Yeah.
Look at you with your facts.
Three children.
Yeah. And I literally bought every piece of clothing you put me in for that show. I bought my whole wardrobe. And I wore that sequin, the off-shoulder black sequin dress many times.
So good.
I think I could put a fly in it.
Were you the girl in that show? That's fantastic that was you.
That was me.
That's awesome.
Big bushy pigtails.
It's true.
That was a weirdly sexy, fun show.
I loved that show.
Yeah.
And that set was one of my favorite sets that Alex has
ever done.
Was
that your first show as EGADS?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was a good time.
So then technically that probably was February of 10, to be honest, of when that was. But
yeah, probably. Yeah, because the stage awards, I think, were 09. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, February of 2010.
That's fun. And then, so you are an actress in town?
I am.
You are.
I am. I do less of that now that I have the children and the big person job. But it's kind of cool to be able to pick your projects.
Yeah,
absolutely.
If I have to do...
Well, if that was you and EGADS, that's... amazing. So then I kind of know you a little longer.
Yeah, how did you guys meet? Do you even... Sometimes we get people on the couch and I'm like, no idea. You've just been in my life for so long that I don't recall.
From my standpoint, I think you just were almost like we were circling each other like Jaws.
Yeah.
Like I was just like, hi.
Hey.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. My favorite story is that I got to hang out with your daughter at the zoo, you know, and really sort of bonded with her that day. And I sort of take that story with me where I'm like, I think that's actually how I synced up with Natalie, is I think that that day she was like,
well, it was her birthday. It was your birthday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hello, my baby. Made everything better. Yeah.
It was sweet. Really special. It was a good day.
Lyra's a handful. Anybody that can, like, tame that enthusiasm.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I was just like, do you want to snuggle? Because I want to snuggle. I mean, at some point
it's only 100 degrees.
Yeah. You're like, the zoo with a new fun creature.
Yep.
But we played, like, koala and shit, you know?
Oh, my God. Anytime.
It was fun.
Yeah.
I happen to like your daughter.
Yeah, it was fun. I don't think that really... Lyra and Vi were friends yet, really.
Mm-hmm.
I just, like, offered. I was like, well, it's your birthday. You can't get off work. I'll go with, you know, I'll take her. And just because that's the best part about Union Hill on the planet is that you just get to pick what kids you go around with.
That's another lovely connection that Courtney and you have, Natalie, is that both of your kids go to Union Hill.
Yep. Yeah. They're like, 4 months apart.
Mm-hmm.
And we were pregnant at the same time.
And you've had a kid since.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Got Max now.
Was that last summer?
He was born June 6th last year.
Because I think we saw you at the 4th of July parade in Union Hill.
That's right.
And we were like, what is she doing out in the real world?
I know, no. And after I had Lyra, I was like, I'm going to live in my house by myself inside for months and months. When I had Max, I was like, get me the fuck out of here.
Get me the fuck out of here.
But no, you're my, Courtney's my mom guru. So I bother her with questions about everything you can ask.
Ooh, that's a lot of
pressure. And
it's true.
You're the mom guru, Courtney.
I know. Ooh, that's a lot of pressure.
Sign me up for that.
I mean,
if I ever have a kid, you probably would definitely be one of my mom gurus.
I'm not terrible at it, I don't think. I don't know. We'll see.
I would venture to say you're winning at mom. Yeah.
Therapy, only therapy will tell.
Right.
That's what I say.
Yes, that's true, yeah.
Uh-huh. So Natalie, you went to Stevens College, is that correct?
I did.
That's another one of our connections that we just slightly missed each other.
I'm older than you, right?
You are, okay. What year did you graduate college?
So I took a year off. I did the first year, the second year, and then I was like, noped out to Denver for a year, and then was like, shit, out of my credits transfer, I guess I'll go back to Stevens. So I graduated in 03.
Yeah. So we missed each other literally by 1 year.
Yeah.
Because I started in 04.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
So, I mean, circling each other. But you know everyone I know there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you graduate with, like, Adam Branson and stuff like that?
I did.
Yeah. That's so fun. Yeah, this is the moment where I'm just like, I'm going to ask you, like, four people, like Kyle Groff and stuff like that.
Yep.
Because the men of Stevens are much easier to remember
than the females.
I agree. No, so I had, like, my class that I did my first 2 years with, and then when I took my year off, I came back, and I was with the newer class, and so I had, like, I had to reforge all the friendships, because, you know, you get so close because you're stuck with each other for everything.
3 years, 2 summers, no break.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, God, yeah.
Because after STI, which is after your first year at Stevens, you do, at least my, I'm assuming it was yours, you do a summer intensive program at Stevens for the first couple of months, and that's called Summer Theater Institute, I believe. And it's just your class, and you essentially take a much more...
And that's pre-Bogey?
Yes.
That is pre-Bogey, but the men, at least with me, after I finished STI, I had 1 week off, and then I had to go up to Bogey.
Okay.
So as a man, I literally went 3 years, 2 summers, plus the internship before I started, all of that.
Yeah, they worked you guys to death.
They did, but it was super worth it.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good.
I mean, I walked away from my college experience feeling like I knew I wanted to work in theater.
I learned how to be a professional
at
Stevens, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For sure. Didn't love all of it, but you definitely learn how to handle yourself.
Yeah.
And Brett Prentice had our senior year, his class was essentially, and I think I've said this a lot, is that no one will wake you up to go and work.
Yep.
Like, theater is the job that everyone wants your part. Why would you wake up your competition?
Yeah.
So,
no.
You have to set your alarm. You have to hit the pavement. You've got to make the connections.
Yeah.
You have to show up to rehearsal.
And you have to show up and not be an asshole.
That's something.
I went back to speak at Stevens, like 5 or 6 years ago. It was just like, it doesn't matter how talented you are. Like, if you're an asshole in the room, nobody cares.
Well, no one wants to spend 3 months with you working on a project.
You can be amazing. You can be the best person for every part. And if you're terrible to be around.
And it's true. You guys don't have... I've only met one asshole outside, like, out of Stevens, of all of the Stevens kids I've ever worked with. There was one that I was like, I don't believe you went there because you're so terrible. Mm-hmm. I will not say her name. But she was terrible. And I just never, like, because I was just, I had encountered so many Stevens grads before her that I was just like, what is wrong with you? What did you learn there? I don't understand.
Some people don't take that away. Some people spend a lot of time there thinking that the system is against them, too.
Yes.
And I'm not sure if it's not. Like, you know, there's a whole debate on that. But I definitely think that Stevens found talent out of people that sometimes didn't necessarily know that they did. And then, of course, the best kind of stay at the top too. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, that's how theater works. You're just like, well, we need someone who can hit this note, and
that's how insurance works. That's how everything works. Right. Like, you know, talent rises to the top, and if you're nice and easy to be around.
And mostly nice, though. And, you know, you've been taught the thank you.
The thank you.
That's the one that I was, that she just consistently, I was like, aren't you supposed to say thank you now? That's the way you people are trained. She was so terrible.
Yeah, Beth Leonard said, if I tell you to jump off of a cliff, you should say thank you, and then figure out why I asked you to do it later.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But do it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Did you go to Boji once?
I did.
Yeah. Did you love your Boji experience?
It was weird for me. So there's that tradition of the oldest girl gets to be in the two-person room rather than the four or six-person room. Since I had taken that year off, I took a year off and then went straight to Boji, the class that I didn't know.
Wow.
And so it was just me and this girl named Katie. And I can't remember her last name, and I probably shouldn't say it.
I doubt she's listening.
Hey, she's like a famous hairstylist in LA now. Like, she does hair for the stars. So good for you, Katie. I didn't know her, and I was in the room by myself, you know, with her. I knew a couple people there, but I wasn't like close friends with anybody. So it was a weird, like, it was a warming up.
So you took off and literally just showed up in Iowa to start your last year.
Yeah.
Holy moly.
Yeah. And so there's a lot of jealousy and weirdness, and like, cause I played Kate or Lillian, Kiss Me Kate. At the end of the summer.
I'm like dorking out. Did you submit a video for your Boji audition?
No, I came up.
You came up.
I did.
Okay,
yeah.
Cool.
And yeah, so I, you know, just walked in and started again. But then when I got to school that last year, my parents made me get a job, even though it's not possible to have a job.
Right.
Your final year at Stevens as a theater major. So I didn't audition for any plays. I waited tables at fucking Olive Garden. And so it was just weird, sort of like, I just want my degree and I want to go out to the world and do this thing. So I didn't get the full experience that last
year. I thought that Boji was, you know, obviously it's sort of the thing that you work toward. I mean, you're taught that, like, at some point you get to go to Boji and it's your year and it's your season. And really, my dad and I talk about that. My dad is a listener now, so hello.
Hey.
Hello, Scott Childs. That about essentially how that is when I decided that I was like, I want to do theater all the time because it is so encompassing. You wake up and you start the teamwork then. You have like food cleaning crew, you know, like there's, it just, it's the entire gamut. And you live and you breathe and you die in theater and you're sick, but you still got to do a show. There was a point that I was involved in three different shows at one time, one of them being the children's theater show and two main stage shows. And you're just like, which show am I doing now?
No, it's nuts.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
But I felt so in control of my, like, package when I left Boji to go back into my senior year. I was just like, I just did it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's the only summer stock experience I've ever done.
Me too.
Yeah.
Which I think summer stock is sort of like this rite of passage that people think that you're supposed to have, and mine was just given to me by academia.
Yeah, I do. Everybody that I know that has a theater degree, with the exception of my husband, because his is not in performance of any kind, has done summer stock somewhere. I think that that's just, you know, a thing you have to do.
Yeah.
I guess. Yeah. I don't know. You actor people. I don't know what you guys do.
But I thought my education was great, and it's so fun sometimes to talk to someone else who at least sees the inside world and knows what the fuck I'm talking about sometimes. That's crazy. you were Kate and Kiss Me Kate. That's, great.
Yeah.
I think I may have saw you up there.
Really?
Yeah. Me and my mom and my dad were pretty big supporters of making sure I got into Stevens.
That's awesome.
Like, we hustled a lot.
That's awesome. Yeah.
That was cool.
Yeah. Did you come straight here after that?
No, so I went to work in Denver. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my family lives in and around Denver, and mm-hmm. there was a dinner theater out there called the Country Dinner Playhouse, mm-hmm. Or the Barn, mm-hmm. as it were. And we had our own barn. See. And it was one of the only union
houses.
Every
city has a barn.
God damn right. It was one of the only union houses mm-hmm. in Colorado. Like, wow. It's fucking weird that the theater scene out there is really sparse and bizarre. Yeah. So if anybody has any money and wants to start a theater company in Denver, call me. So I got all my EMC points there, never ended up going to the union because, life decided that I didn't need to do that. But, I got to work. So Annalie Ashford, mm-hmm. is from Denver, and she was our Sandy in Grease there. Mm-hmm. And I had to understudy her because she had to go to prom. Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Sure.
Yeah. So
sure.
I went on twice for Annalie Ashford.
Great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have that on your resume?
I do. But like at this point in my career with Kansas City, I don't resume anymore.
No. Isn't that crazy too?
My headshot's literally 10 years old.
Yeah. When was the last time you auditioned?
Maybe Say You Love Satan.
I know, right? No, it's been a minute. I don't remember.
Isn't that crazy to also think about?
Yeah. Meeting Kyle kind of like...
Yeah.
Which is a lovely transition into the next sort of part. So we have Natalie on as well because 2 weeks ago we sort of had a cast hangout mm-hmm. with the group mm-hmm. of Jesus Christ Superstar over a couple of days, and that was incredible. And Natalie, you are part of the company that we are mm-hmm. producing with, which mm-hmm. is this Happy Breed.
That's right.
And that's really cool. So for our listeners, can you kind of give a little like background on how that company started and your involvement with
sure.
that?
So I met Kyle like the year we did Say You Love Satan, I think. Mm-hmm. So it was like 8, 9, I don't remember.
Nine,
time
eight,
time
yeah.
doesn't mean anything no. anymore. So a while back.
We all look the same still.
We do. Yeah. With a wrinkle in sight. Yeah. So he was doing a Fringe Festival play, and I had done like the reps, general auditions, mm-hmm. when he first got to town with Eric Rosen, and did the general, and he was like, yeah, we're not going to use you for any of this stuff, but I wrote this Fringe play, and it's a version of The Libation Bearers, or the, mm-hmm. you know, the Electra story, and mm-hmm. so I'd really like you to be in this, and I'm like, okay, and I just come off of like Fiddler, and Oklahoma at the New Theater, and I was just like this musical theater girl, and I did one
you
straight.
You did do Oklahoma.
I did do Oklahoma. I did. I was like girl in denim from the left.
Oh
like,
my gosh.
Yeah.
That's crazy too. So, you were in that show with my husband's ex-boyfriend, Matt Carney.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. He borrowed a book from me and never gave it back.
That
I remember
makes sense.
That's
bastard.
Funny to me.
That makes sense.
Yeah. About like being a vegetarian. Because I was a vegetarian at the time.
Are you no longer a vegetarian?
No, I don't do that. All I ate was cheese and ended up with a vitamin B deficiency. So we started working on this play, and it was crazy and awesome, and I got to scream a lot and wear mm-hmm. a giant chain around my waist mm-hmm. and a bathtub. Like, it was this fucked up cool.
I love the Electra series.
Mm-hmm. Oh my god! Yeah. And like, Carrie Linehan was in it as...
I love her.
My brain doesn't work anymore. She was in it. She was great. And, Anthony Merchant, who's in New York now, and I'm just name dropping. This isn't, nobody cares. Anyway, so did this amazing play, and...
Where was that located? Where did you all do that
we
show?
Did it at just off Broadway before they renovated it.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
And it was so much fun. I didn't care if nobody liked it. I didn't care if nobody saw it. Just like being, like, that's what... like
that
energized me. That was amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like from that point on we did The Death of Cupid the first mm-hmm. time. Mm-hmm. And then we did Head, mm-hmm. the John the Baptist story. And then we've done Carousel twice. We did Death of Cupid again. Mm-hmm. We did our two person version of Macbeth last year.
Yep.
So we've just been creating forever.
Yeah.
All these things. And
when did you know that your mind and his mind were gonna meld professionally like that?
That first show.
Yeah.
Like we had a shorthand within the first like 2 weeks.
Because mm-hmm. I kind of feel like we've joked about that in all seriousness, just about our time with Jesus Christ Superstar. Like Kyle is someone who very quickly, if you do speak the same language, the book is there.
Yeah,
you don't have to do it. Yep. And there's he has an insane ability to communicate with everyone, mm-hmm. but if you really sync up with him, it's kind of magical.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. We very rarely disagree.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. So, we got to talking like a couple years ago. It was right before we did Macbeth, and it was like, you know what, like, if we're doing this, let's us do it and not have to lean on the living room or necessarily the rep or anybody else to like take and produce our work for us. Let's be a part of it. Let's be an active participant in the production of the shows.
And you can feel every part of it when you're a producer and you're an actor. Yeah. You're like, we're doing everything.
It's, and he has all those relationships because of his work at the rep. So he knows where to ask for money and how to ask for money and when to ask for money. And that's, you know, for me, like, I've got a business mind because of working my day job, but I feel kind of dumb when it comes to, like, well, how do you...
Right.
Like, I know how to, in the room, I know how a play comes together, but before you get there, like, how do you put all those pieces? And so that's been fun and interesting. But, yeah, so we're...
And you're doing kind of your first big main stage show kind of outside of Carousel, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just decided, why not start with a fucking huge
musical? Jesus Christ Superstar has been circling around, I feel, and why, obviously, I mean, first of all, very proud to be able to work side by side with you all in this upcoming project, but Jesus Christ Superstar is a show that swirled around on our side, the Arts Asylum side, in just the stupidest conversations like you do. You're just like, damn, I love that song, or wouldn't it be crazy if... And then all of a sudden, like after Hedvig last year, Courtney and I think Sean and Kyle and everyone started sort of just having this conversation, and we were like, well, let's do it.
Kyle and I have been talking about it for a really long time, like from before we opened the building. Like just the fact, because it was a church, that like we were like, okay, we're going to do Godspell. We're going to do Superstar. We're going
to,
you know, like
super
just,
real after everyone, after we got Hedvig under and we could really show what the space could do with, you know, with a budget, with when you actually have some money to invest in theater, and you're not just almost doing the theater to do it. Because I've directed 3 or 4 times in there, and all of my budgets have essentially been just create. You know?
There you go.
That, you know, and that includes even projects that we've done ourselves here, where you're just like, this just needs to be done. You know?
So it's been really, has its place, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it's been kind of nice to really watch the entire process grow around us, where there's people who are just, their only job is working on that set. And we, you know, then that set is shown to us, and I know that's your husband, Courtney, but all of a sudden you're like, yes, that's you should do that.
You should that you are set.
Yeah, thank you, because I would not have
Are you high? I couldn't do, be like, we're at a light stage for everything.
With lights.
Yes. And if you're lucky, I don't know.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. But only if you carry the light yourself.
Exactly.
Thank you, Kyle's thesis.
Yes.
So yeah, so I'm really glad that, you know, we get to do that. We start rehearsals in August, and that, you know, for all intents and purposes, is next week.
Right. Oh my god. I don't know what why we did this to ourselves. Like, I think it was very important that we did the whole, like, little intensive and everybody was together, and then I'm just like, and now I don't get to see you guys for 4 months? That sounds terrible. What were we thinking with this?
But people, I mean, with having such an extraordinary cast and, you know, sort of team, really getting all of those minds at the same time.
Absolutely.
That I think it's even more why we had to do it last weekend or whatever, because that everyone's working. Everyone has a job. You know, Kyle doesn't live here.
Right.
Like, Justin doesn't live here. So you have to find those pockets of time where you're like, can I borrow you for 4 days uninterrupted?
Yeah. Well, and I think it's really going to help with the process of what all of, because there are a lot of people in the cast that all of us have worked with before, but there's people that I've never worked with, that people that I've never met, that I've never, you know, that I've never interacted with at all. And I think creating that kind of bond way early in the process means that we can just work. You know, once we hit August, it's like, okay, we all love each other. That's established. We don't have to do this. Like,
the tribe is already being built. It's already there.
I agree. I agree.
And so, and this is kind of putting you on the spot, what is your elevator speech when you sell Jesus Christ Superstar?
Oh, man. I mean, we've all heard the music. Like, if you haven't, then you, you know, there's something probably wrong with your childhood or something. So, I mean, like, my husband has heard just, like, the overture, and he hates it.
Oh, no.
Like, he is not a fan of just, like, what he's heard, but he hasn't heard us.
Right.
Know?
Yes.
And same, I mean, like, when we did Carousel, like, when Kyle said he wanted to do that, I was like, are you fucking serious? Like,
right.
I don't have any interest in that story. I hate the music. The second we got into the room with everybody, it was like, oh.
We're going to tell the story our way.
Yes, what a jerk I am. So, this is not a Jesus Christ Superstar like you've ever seen before. Mm-hmm. That sounds horribly cliche and stupid, but we're just going to
roll with
that.
Accurate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's...
Well, I hope so. Yeah. I mean, you know, that story is so told.
It's, yes, very told. And as a fallen Catholic, you know, we're all aware of the way it goes. But the voices that we've chosen to cast to tell the story, not just the singing voices, but the voices of the people that are participating, bring something amazingly unique and powerful.
Yep.
Across the board. There's not a member of this ensemble that is not
exactly
who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you all fell into place for sure. That audition room was crazy.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah. Extraordinary.
Literally everybody that walked through their door had their shit down.
Yep.
They knew exactly
that's what I
who they were in front of. I mean, it was...
I had some friends who came through who unfortunately didn't make it, but they were still like... But, I mean, your room was beyond professional, and because they unfortunately could kind of hear the auditions on that first day, you knew. Like, yeah. You were just like, well, that was good.
Yeah.
But you, like, that was kind of the beauty, you know, of that. And, you know, two parts to that is, I love how diverse the cast is, both in color of skin, but also, like, gender or identification. Mm-hmm. You know, we never in that room, and I only missed, I think, half of a day of the auditions, but I just love a room where you don't have to ask what your gender or anything is. What role are you auditioning for today? Mm-hmm.
Right,
you know, if I'm not saying it would have happened, but like Jesus could have been a woman.
Yep.
Like the open ability for that room was one of the coolest things because I have never been in a room where you were just casting the right person for the role,
right.
No matter what.
Yep.
That sort of freedom. I've never.
It was cool. It really sort of changed the dynamic.
Yeah,
it
and
did.
I knew that that was our plan going in, but being a part of it,
worked.
We can do this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, and we have the amazing Aaron Bates to also help with that process because
well,
I just remember being like, "You're rewriting the music right now."
she makes it seem like it's not a big deal.
No,
and I'm like, "What the fuck is going on in your brain? Like, how?" Amazing are you up there, like, quietly, where I'm like, I can't remember my kid's name, most of the time. Like, she's,
but
like,
I think every single one of the creatures inside of that room has that same superpower.
Yeah.
No, like, I definitely think Kyle has an ability to manipulate words that I've never heard anyone. Alex literally talks lights, and he's like, what do you want this breath to feel like? And I'm like, thank you for asking that
because
question.
I would never have thought of that, yeah.
But also, the second part of that was to go back to sort of what you said about Stevens, is because I was fortunate enough to be in that casting room, too, like, the conversation just sometimes about do they like you or not is a huge part of that.
Yes.
Like, there were times that we sat around that table and never talked about their talent.
Mm-hmm.
We just talked about, do you want to spend the next 9 months talking and thinking about
family.
This
yeah.
human?
Yeah.
And there were people who literally got thrown in the trash, and we never talked about their talent, whether they were good or bad or whatever. And those things that I think that people don't even realize in a casting room.
Yeah,
it's
are
like,
you a human?
Right.
Can you take a basic note?
Yeah,
yeah.
Like,
well, you've got Aaron and Kyle. I believe that they can get whatever you need, whatever we need out of you.
Yes.
But do I want to hang out with you? Because if you suck, I don't want you around. I don't
care
how talented you are.
I'm trying to jive with our vibe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not even close. So we had people, so I manned like the email for the audition process and just like, for all you actors out there, like, you don't know who you're emailing, so it would be respectful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you email for a time and you don't show up, that looks real shitty.
Yep.
We remember that.
Especially both times.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
You know who you are. people do that, the horrible thing of the no-call, no-show thing. Or just the, like, badgering. Like, just, you know, like, be professional.
Right.
We're working to trust in the company.
Yeah.
Conversations about that was that our cast is also kind of on the younger side in some ways, but I'm like, but it's not like our Jesus is like 82 years old,
and he looks like he's 25.
Right, exactly.
I mean,
whatever serum he's
having.
Into,
that, so there was a couple of debates just about like, did you guys cast really young in ways, and I'm like, that conversation was never in the room either.
We didn't, about age.
It was so.
And I think we have
talent.
A full spectrum of like all the way from nearing 50,
well, right,
all the way down to 22. I think Kat is our youngest, I believe.
Yep. Well, I had a conversation, and I know this is, like, dumb, but how old was Jesus when he was crucified?
34.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah, exactly. It should be a young outcast.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
People didn't live that
lifespan.
Long.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Life so if you have a 70-year-old on stage, that person probably wasn't alive.
Yeah, and that's mm-hmm. casting like, for voices and casting the way that mm-hmm. normally you
yeah.
know, mm-hmm. things are done.
Like, right. you just think that because they're a king, they're supposed to be, like, this ancient, old.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, no,
we're
our
doing
king
an opera.
Is
all...
40 years old,
yeah.
and... She's gonna kill it.
She's killing it, man.
She's just
yeah.
gonna kill it. So I was like, remember that we're aging up too. So like, it's 32 is the age that he's supposed to be.
And the idea behind this production, very much kind of like Macbeth was, the idea is these players are walking into the space, choosing to play this story.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know who they're gonna play that day.
Right.
So I don't know if I'm giving too much
it's
away, but like, yeah. So they walk
yeah.
into the space. To find their props and their costumes, and you know they choose to play Jesus, Judas, whatever,
knowing what role they have to take on,
right? And
yeah.
maybe you know there was a different Jesus the night before. Maybe Jesus
mm-hmm.
and Judas swapped. We don't know what happened. You
right,
know, the story of the players,
but mm-hmm. the story is the same,
right.
which
story
is so
same.
Cool. Which is theater. I mean, isn't that the motif
yeah.
for
right.
every play and musical?
But then
that
we
you
get
do?
To the added layer is then you get to see what taking on that role does to the player. Like
right,
you introduce
to
the player's relationship to the audience first.
Mm-hmm.
You get to see them accept the role. We know what's going to happen to Jesus and Judas.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Everybody. I mean,
it's been
right.
prophesied
mm-hmm.
forever.
So
yeah.
I mean, we know, and we know what Pilate does. I'm playing Pilate, by the way. I don't know.
Has there ever been a female Pilate?
Not in my mind.
I've
know.
Never seen it.
No.
Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm. So we
oh
all.
God, you're
be so excited.
I mean, aren't you?
Just so excited.
I
yeah.
think everyone is. I think we're.
We're gonna have this selfie from the show, and then I believe we actually get to drop our creative team photo today as well.
Yeah.
Which, like, I mean.
Yeah, this show will air on Thursday, but I mean, I cannot believe the magical life I get to leave or
yeah.
lead sometimes.
Yeah.
I'm like,
that's so fun.
This is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This.
Well,
yeah. This
yeah,
whole episode
I,
is brought to you with a smile.
Yeah. Yeah. I managed to get through. With only crying for 4-ish times
oh my God.
On last Saturday.
Yeah.
But humanizing the story that has been so idolized for so long.
Yeah.
I
well,
think
a show I would never touch.
Right.
Personally.
I mean,
yeah.
yeah, just the notion of making sense of that all of these people were humans
yeah.
before anything else. I mean,
yeah.
I think that that's how we are going to portray
well, they
it.
They scream that. You're just a man.
Right.
You're,
yeah.
yeah. I mean... This whole, you weren't a god until you were dead. You know,
right.
sort of like,
mm-hmm.
you all are existing.
And I love that the play
time.
Doesn't have an opinion.
Right.
Mm-mm.
Mm-mm.
At all. It can go, I mean, it's angered a lot of people for since it was written.
Sure.
Because it doesn't take an opinion.
Mm-hmm.
And no matter what.
Well, you know, Alex and I were actually talking about this. The interesting part about telling this particular story, though the story as a whole is, you know, very, there's no room for opinion. Everything, you know, sorry to any super Christian listeners out there, that's not my opinion, this is just my opinion. The crazy stuff, the stuff that's like the supernatural, that all comes after this story is told.
Yeah.
I mean, the end of this play, none of the rest of the, I mean, you know, beyond the like, walk on water and the, you know, turn my water into wine kind of stuff, all of
the
idolization starts after the show ends.
Yeah.
And so there isn't really room for opinion or, you know, or swaying one way or another, because this is just, I think that this story probably is historical fact.
Mm-hmm.
I believe these people existed. I think it probably happened somewhat along these lines.
And I think it should, not to also piss off any of the listeners out there, but I think it also shows how easily a cult can be started.
Oh, mm-hmm. I mean...
Like, I mean,
again.
Just, right, I'm like, people are just blindly following
right.
someone.
Following charisma.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
right.
So when Judas asks, you know, do you believe what they say you are?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you believe it?
Do you believe
mm-hmm.
it?
Because we don't, I mean,
mm-hmm.
toward the end there,
yep.
He got real quiet.
Yep.
yeah, he kind of stopped talking there.
yeah, so I mean, like, maybe, I mean, he thought it was prophesized that he had to die.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he just saw that it was going to be inevitable, that it was going to happen, because...
Well, to prove his point,
yeah.
probably it's it, too late to give up now, kind of, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Kind
and,
of mentality.
Yeah.
And they talk about that, too, like, what has happened.
Yeah.
So, I'm very excited to delve into this show, especially as an atheist. So I get,
you've got a team of atheists working on the Jesus play. Yeah.
Well, but I think that then all that's going to do is help us tell the story.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to cut through a lot of the bullshit. Not saying that the musical has bullshit, but you just we're just going to talk about it.
It is the greatest story ever told. It just sits in the fiction section at my house.
Yes.
Does, you know what I mean?
That's my perspective. And
I think Pilot has one of the hardest parts of the story because you're the one who makes the decision.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get caught up in the excitement of it too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. At any point, you could have done the right
because
thing.
Because he's very pragmatic. Yeah, very much like that. This is a day like any other day.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck are you?
Right. Do you think that he justifies his decision with a dream, or do you think that, you know, like...
That's an argument that I've had, is that...
felt it was prophesied too through a dream.
Or he was just pragmatic and said, you know, this is weird. Like, maybe didn't... You know,
I just always wonder if he told the story after it took place. Yeah. He was like, well, see, what happened was, is I had this dream when Jesus was still alive.
Yeah.
But we put it in Act 1 in a different place.
Well, is the whole show a dream? I mean, is Heaven on Their Minds a reflection of, you know, Allah?
We still have 4 months of
you know,
like, by the time we get to
is the whole thing
it's
going to
be a whole situation, No, it's fun. And so we do have different beliefs in the cast, too. We've got some very devout people that are excited to tell the story alongside.
And you have people who are identifying with characters in this show that they are talking about. You know, like, I know for a fact that Justin, who's playing Judas, is having to talk to himself a lot right now. I think you said he's read the Bible a couple of times.
That is what he told me. I was like, whew, that's an undertaking.
That's the whole situation.
I mean, but I think it's also, this is
the way
that
he needs to know the story that's being
told.
I think everyone, too, I mentioned that, too. I was like, I need to dig into just a lot of the stuff so then I can fill in the gaps for myself if there's a conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the only context I had for Pilot was the, you know, the Apostles' Creed or whatever you rattle off at church. Mm-hmm. He was crucified and Pontius Pilate, suffered and died and was buried.
Right.
So.
Do you feel, as a woman, it's going to be fun to play a role that has primarily been played by a man?
So all of the roles I've ever played for Kyle are these, like, crazy strong, authoritative... so the risk of being a little one note, I think, I'm not playing it as a man at all.
Yeah.
We've got, but he's not cast me as a woman to make Pilot a woman. It's just, I am Pilot, whatever that means.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I think that that tells the story that night too, as you were saying. When they walk in, you just take on Pilot.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you being human X, not Natalie, not woman.
Exactly. Yeah. So, I'm not going to give away any secrets, but just the way that we present that, I think, will be hopefully effective. But yeah, so I look very much forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, I knew that we were going to spend some time talking about it on the podcast today just because it was our common denominator and something that we're all so excited about.
Yeah.
In the dumbest way. Oh,
just
nerds, listening
just
to them
nerds.
Sing.
I love it so much. Yeah.
They're going to be so good.
Yeah.
Well, now we get to sort of move into the questions part, believe it or
that's
not.
Right.
Which
right.
is kind of
I know.
Fun.
Mm-hmm.
So, what is your definition of real magic? Lay-side.
I know. That's hard. So, like, as a mother... Mm-hmm. of two little guys, so my daughter's almost 5 and my son is 10 months. It's watching them discover things, you know, with Max like ducking behind a chair and him thinking I'm gone and me popping back up, like that delight, that's magic, that's amazing. With Lyra, like I took her to see her first play. That was the whole situation.
Was that Mr. Popper's Penguins?
Yeah. She decided to fall into a fountain at Crown Center.
I did get that message.
That was.
Today's been a weird day. Also.
So Lyra's corny. That's when my kids come over ever.
No.
It's so
I don't think that's the weirdest things that take place at Courtney's house at all.
But she, I can tell, has the bug. She wants to be on stage. She was irritated that we were going to go see a play on stage because she wanted to be on stage. But she really
loved
it.
Does she take classes at, like...
She's taking ballet.
Yeah, cool.
Right now. She doesn't like to go to class. She just wants to do the recital.
Right.
Like, that's... Yeah. She's my daughter. Mm-hmm. 100%.
But that's part of the lesson, too. Yeah. I mean, not to go back, but, you know, that sort of idea that you have to go through the rehearsals.
Yeah.
The performance is the reward, but the process is the game.
Oh, and it's so, when you're with this kind of family, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is she at KCYA?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. They're, who's her teacher?
Mr. James.
Okay. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, she loves it.
Yeah, running to the show with him.
Do you feel, how does that make you feel watching your kids sort of take on naturally the path that you did?
It's great, and also like, oh shit.
Yep.
Because like Daniel, my husband, and I have talked a lot about you know, we want her to be super well rounded. We want, like, we tried soccer and she hated it so much. You know, but she's like a rough and tumble kind of tomboy girl. Like, she'll wear a tutu, but she wants to go, like, dig up bugs. So my, like, my promise to him was not to be like one of those pushy moms that pushes toward the thing that I like because she, you know, whatever. But I didn't do anything.
Yep,
was just into it.
It happens, yeah.
It really does.
I remember being so equally proud at the same time as being so like, oh god, what have we done? When Riley did her first show, because we saw her in like a show for the first time, because we were not, you know, a part of whether she took dance class or whether she took, you know, and it was just like, oh, okay, this is happening. And it's going to either be perfect or it's going to be terrible. And it's going to be terrible, because that's what happens when you have a middle school show. Yes, it's going to be terrible.
Yeah. I can't love my parents enough for all the shit that they watched for me.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. But they always thought it was good.
Yeah.
Love you guys.
My mom would go to literally every performance.
Yeah.
My parents go to every performance.
Yeah. Love it. They still are at literally every performance.
My parents are literally
like
every
at the performance. Every single show of a run of a show.
My mother, if she were she lived here.
Yeah,
she would.
I don't know if I will ever.
I don't know that. I love Lyra and Max very much, but I'm also just a cynical, jaded theater asshole. So it's just hard to do anything.
There's like nothing worse than when they have the Union Hill Christmas performance every year. It's the best thing in the whole world. Alex just sits there and is like, work light. They have a work light. Why don't they ask me for a real light? Why can't they? And I'm just like, honey, just bring them a real. You know this is coming.
But you also have to realize that a work light is a step up.
Right.
Like their perspective.
They turn the lights off.
It's not just
the room lights. It's true.
Like, it is a They're crazy crying. Thing, and that is something I have
still
to remember.
Cry. Yeah,
oh my god, every time. It's
when
so
they
sweet.
Come out with snowflakes on their fingers, and you're just like,
oh, I made
like,
those.
I know, oh my god. It's like, I heard this last year, I don't care.
I know, I don't care at all. There was one year, not this last Christmas, but the year before that, that Annie decided that it was the year of the election, and Violet's teacher, they decided they were going to do War Is Over, and I was just like, so we're going to have 3-year-olds singing War Is Over, okay? And then they were just like, oh my god, it was the cutest thing in the whole world.
Oh my god.
It's so adorable.
Oh my god.
Right.
Oh god.
Yep. So cute. That's the one thing I do miss. Although, Is had a winter performance. I suppose it wasn't Christmas, because, you know, we can't do that now that we're now that we're in the charter schools.
Mm-hmm.
A winter performance at the Folly.
Nice.
Yeah, I know. The Folly is needing some help right now, too. Did you
it
see
does
that?
Need some help, yeah. Go donate to them.
Didn't they ask from, like, serious amounts
they need
of
some
money?
Renovation.
They need some serious amounts of money.
Okay.
Yeah. Which I thought they just did their lobby renovation.
They did do their lobby renovation. I think they've now moved on to seating. Their seats are... It is such a beautiful theater, but those seats are...
Yeah.
Leave something to the imagination. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She also did that show at the Quality Hill Playhouse.
We did go do that last week, 2 weeks ago. I don't know. Was that a month ago?
Perhaps. Maybe
Damn.
Even two.
I don't know.
Yep.
I don't know.
All right. Let's see. Okay. You are a new addition to the crayon box. What color are you and why?
Wow. Okay. This makes for good podcasting, is me sitting here nodding at myself.
It does, actually.
Okay.
The listeners are like, I feel her thinking.
Listen.
Yeah.
Listen. All right. So I'm a black crayon.
Okay.
I go with everything, and I help build and outline things.
That's me. That's me writing that answer. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a good one.
That's a good one. I'm
good
the
one.
Black crayon. Whoo, shit, that's a good one. Listen, the fives and tens who have heard 38 weeks of that answer.
Okay.
That's
37.
37?
47. We're almost to a full year of doing this.
Holy
I know.
Fucking moly.
I know.
What is one thing that became more clear as you got older?
How much I don't know.
Word.
And being okay with that.
Yeah.
There are people that are better than I am at a lot of things.
Wow. That's a fantastic answer.
Yeah.
When did you sort of discover that?
In my day job, I recently, I sounds, I don't know what it sounds like. I just kept getting promoted, but I noticed that like with every promotion, I've been with the same company for 7-8 years now. And, every time I would move up, I'm trying to say this without sounding terrible.
You're terrible.
It was just a place that was needed so much. Mm. It needed just a lot. And so I moved up naturally because it just, I took on leadership that nobody else was interested in. So I did that. And so I kind of sit atop of a department now. And now that I'm up there with people that have been around for 20, 30 years who know their shit. In a way that I don't know that I'll ever...
You were like, how did I get to this table?
I don't understand.
Right.
Yeah. And then in the industry, too, just like there are people that just know things, like, off the top. I always leave the room after being with those people feeling like, well, I really don't know fuck all about anything that I talk about.
But hopefully you learn something.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, yeah. So it'll be like a whole lifelong...
You work across the street from my husband. We had a funny moment where Matt came home and goes, I scared the shit out of Natalie the other day, but she knows who I am now. But
oh my God, you're so seeing him out of context. I was like, why are you here?
Hi. But you probably hadn't really, like, talked to him really either.
Not
like,
really,
it's all like, I know. Voyeuristic, you know? But he just, he was like, I scared her. Like, she was like, who the fuck are you? And now I'm like, and he's like, but now we're best friends. And I was like, that's cool.
I'll be. Call me anytime.
Yeah, right there.
Oh, that's funny. All right. Okay. Would you rather have 3 wishes over 5 years or 1 wish granted today?
3 wishes over 5 years.
And what are those 3 wishes? God.
Are there... Okay, there's no, like, limits on them?
Well, I mean, standard gene rules.
Yeah. Oh, we've done this.
Hey! So you can't wish for more wishes.
Can't wish for more wishes. Yeah. Bring people back from the dead.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So...
It gets messy.
Yeah,
as so says the genie in Aladdin.
Mm-hmm. I would like... oh, shit. I feel like I'm a very... Like, my life has been awesome. And I've been very fortunate and lucky. And I, you know... don't want for much. I would wish for financial stability for me and my family, for the rest of our lives. Because when you don't have to worry about money, life gets more fun. It doesn't solve things, but not worrying is nice. I would wish that my husband would finish remodeling our house.
Ooh. Daniel, are you listening?
Probably not, but...
Oh, now I'm going
to
make
them. Yeah. Listen to Wish 2 minute 46. Yeah.
And this is really hard, you guys.
It is.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to create art for the rest of my life.
Mm-hmm.
In some way, I think probably all 3 of those are attainable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right?
Isn't that fun? Isn't,
like, as a kid, I would have been like, I want Oreos to come out of my fingers. Like, I don't know.
And that's kind of what's cool
that
about...
That would still be pretty good.
About those questions.
It's like a stable IRA situation.
Yeah.
That's a good stock investment.
Yeah.
I wouldn't. I don't think that at 33 at all. I'm just like... I can have Chipotle tonight.
Right. Well, financial stability is a
financial
way to
stability.
Put it. Like, I think that everybody's like, I would want to win the lottery, or like, that's, I'm too, like, in my brain to wish for that, because I'm like, well, if I wish for $30 million, where does that come from? As I have to think about, like, the way that the butterfly effect works across the world, and I'm like, I don't know.
I'm like, I don't want to be the person that wins the lottery, because there are people who need the lottery more than need the lottery.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I just don't know how I would do if I didn't have to work.
I would always work.
Yeah, but there's a certain urgency to the fact that I'm not a billionaire, to where I'm like, but I still sort of have to, like, be a human.
Exactly.
And think about stuff. So I just wonder what that tipping point is for me whenever I become reckless.
Yeah.
I don't know what that number is, because I feel like I will always still need some sort of pride in my dollar.
Well, for science, let's just see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll just make you.
I say, let's do it and figure it out, right?
Done.
What is something you were told you could never do or do well that you are in the process of accomplishing or have already accomplished?
I'm lucky in that my parents would never have said something like, you can't do this, or.
Ditto.
Yeah, so I don't know how to answer that. Mm-hmm. There's never been a thing where I've been like, oh, I'm never going to do that. Like, there's stuff that I'm scared of.
What are some of those?
Riding a bike in traffic. I just got a new bike. I got a new bike. I had a bike that was too scary for me to ride because it was too fast. So we had to get me a different bike because it's one of the things my husband loves and I want to be able to participate in. Yeah. But it's fucking terrifying to me and I don't know why. Like,
does he love it in traffic? Or like, he's totally comfortable.
I thought he loved it
in nature.
Yeah, he likes it, whatever. Like, if you can ride a bike to work.
I just, for the first time, rode my husband's scooter on my birthday last year, and I was just like, this is so scary.
I'm like, I could fall down.
Yeah. Right, and be run over by a car, because there's traffic.
Do that. But even, like, on a trail or something, like, falling off a bike, to me, that's catastrophic, and that's the end of my life.
Right.
I don't want to do that.
Well, at this age, I could break a hip.
Listen.
Or something.
I'm brittle.
I barely have my face going for me. I don't want to ruin this thing anymore. Listen. Like, we are holding on by a thread here. People.
So I don't know. Little dumb thing, roadblocks in my own brain about dumb shit.
Mm-hmm. But I like that. Maybe learning to ride a bike in public.
Sure. Yes. You'll see me wicked wishing down the street.
But like total padded lane. Like with so many like arm
like
pads.
Christmas Story.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great film.
It is a great film.
Mm-hmm. What is your favorite Christmas film? Oh, holiday film?
Fuck me.
That's an interesting title.
Yes, it's a porno. Ah, I watch it every year. Yes. Scrooged.
Scrooged. Lovely. Yeah. Mm. I like Bill Murray.
Me too.
He's cool.
Big fan.
Mm-hmm. What's your favorite holiday film, Courtney?
I'm not a big fan of... It is just within recent years that I have returned to not despising Christmas because I worked retail for far too long to ever really
that'll
appreciate
ruin it. For you.
So like classic, I'm going to have to go with every single year. I have to watch The Grinch, the original, not either of these newest two nonsense,
Jim Carrey,
grossness.
But the cartoon.
The cartoon, 30 minutes of beautiful perfectness. But like, if I'm going to sit down and watch a movie, I really enjoy The Family Stone.
Sure.
I don't know that I've ever seen that.
Oh, it's so good.
It's
tragic. It's
heartbreaking. It makes sense that that's our favorite film. mine is a direct tie between Home Alone 1 and Christmas Vacation.
Sure, yes. Yeah.
Like, direct tie. Like, those are films I watch a couple of times during the holiday season. And I think last year, Matt and I saw Christmas Vacation in, like, four different locations.
Love it.
Like, we went and saw it in the movie theater. We went and watched it in our house. We watched it at someone else. You know, like, we just were like, do you want to watch this movie with us? Because that's good.
Okay. Okay, fair. Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, so this one we've brought back recently. What problem or situation did TV or movies make you think as a child would be a much bigger deal in real life?
Oh, dinosaurs.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Like Jurassic Park fucked my
like the possibility
up for
of that?
Way too long.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't even know if it was like, the science could get there. It's like, I could wake up one day and there's like,
dinosaur?
Motherfucking dinosaur.
Dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs.
All right.
Out of this little amber, like, rock. Don't even pretend that as a kid I didn't try. I was just like, well, look at this rock. I wonder if there's some mosquito in it that I'm going to bring back a dinosaur.
Yeah.
I just love the way they say that in that movie.
They're
going to
be like Scourge of the Earth, as far as I know.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah.
That's fantastic.
Like, I answered that a little too fast.
Nope.
She's like,
that's the question I was referencing that I'll tell you about later.
Yeah, we had a good one a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, that's the one. We had Seth on.
Seth Jones, and he said the rapture.
Because he was raised super, like, evangelical, and I always forget that about him. And so when he said it, I was just like, your childhood is so much different than mine.
I'm talking about, like, say, you know, quicksand and, like, the D.A.R.E. program. And
dinosaurs.
And dinosaurs. And he's like, the rapture.
The rapture.
Yeah.
And
no,
I
read those stupid books. So my dad's really churchy. He's not going to listen to this. And he made me read all the Left Behind books as, like, an allegory. Like, a game.
Wow.
Did you watch a television show, The Leftovers?
No.
Ugh,
I just
that scares the
that
bejesus
shit.
Out of me. Like, legit, I was raised Catholic, but I think that it has been way too in the, like, not so distant future that I figured out what the rapture was. Like, but I was like, hold on,
what
I don't remember ever being told.
Just always feeling like as a child, and again, this is why I'm an atheist, that there's somebody watching you and what you are doing is not good enough. And it's not good enough. And it's
well,
not
it's
good
like
enough.
The ultimate paranoia. Someone's always watching me.
Right. And it's, you better go confess that shit that you didn't know that was really wrong or didn't.
I mean, there's times that, like, you know, I pick my nose and flick it. Like, you don't even see that.
No, I'm not going to account for that at the
I know. I'm not.
Yeah.
Isn't it sad about Notre Dame?
Oh, yeah.
But they're in it now. And it seems as though nothing is as destroyed as they were.
Yeah, but then they're like, the Ultra Cross survived.
That last night?
Daniel and I did this collective, like, eye roll so hard I fell off the couch.
Right.
Like, another wall at Notre Dame crumbled because of that.
Right. Yes.
But, yeah, so it's just the roof was wood, and that, you know, the stained glass has been lost, and that's terrible, and it's also terrible, but there's a lot of it that is much more salvageable than I were thinking yesterday. I was just so upset yesterday.
I didn't think about, like, you know, like, you sort of, my husband and I were talking sort of about it, and you just sort of like, well, that's, like, a part of history. Even if they rebuild it, and it's all great, and it takes them 10 years to put it back together, like, Matt, who hasn't been there, will never see
what I saw.
It now becomes a true memory. It's in a history book, you know. Mm-hmm. And then Notre Dame burned in March or April of 2019. Yeah. Like, that's now part of history.
Fuck.
In that, you know, it's just like Donald Trump. It's all of those things that you don't think about that we have to carry on as what our reality.
I refuse to carry him.
Well, hopefully he'll be nullified in some way, and he won't even exist.
We get the Mueller report tomorrow. Well, today, officially, when this airs, I think. Thursday, it's being released.
Tomorrow will be Wednesday, too, so that'll be good.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're going to Jefferson City tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. So yesterday, when this is airing.
Oh, podcast.
I know.
Exactly.
This week, the week after. We're actually almost done.
Yeah,
so I'm sort of
that
taking
went by really
it
fast,
does
right?
go by extremely quick. So is there anything that you would sort of like love to leave us on? You know, things that maybe we didn't ask that you would love to tell all 5 and 10 of the people who listen?
All 5 and 10.
That's why they're called the 5s and 10s. All 5 and 10 of them.
You sweet baby angels.
Yes.
Reading
with Natalie.
Yes. Yeah. Come see Jesus Christ Superstar, Obvi. Mm-hmm. And it's not that bad. Everything that is, it sucks that Donald Trump is president. It sucks so much I can't even believe it's real.
Mm-hmm.
There's literally nothing we can do about it right at this moment in time. So go home and, like, hug somebody and eat some.
Go hug someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then my last question is, who would you like to hear from on the couch? That's how you got here.
I'm trying to think of, like, who wouldn't have been here before.
Mm-hmm. It's okay if you've named them.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think that you, Natalie, would love to hear from?
Who would I love to hear from? Like, in the city, is
it?
Like,
it helps
is
if they're
attainable.
If it's
yeah, it helps.
Okay.
But we did fly in Justin Van Pelt, so
I know that's
it's
also true.
Yeah.
And you guys already did Kyle, I assume.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I'm sure we'll do another like superstar one with all of us. I think probably as we. As
well,
we
like later. I want to have Aaron on.
Right.
Like we need to probably during that process almost have like a Jesus Christ Superstar check in.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah,
100%. Can we borrow you for 10 minutes to record
those
this little
people are
light?
All like my little orbit right now, so that's kind of it's gonna be hard not to pick somebody in that orbit. I kinda wanna throw it to a couple situation with Nick and Jessica.
Cool. Yeah, I would love to have those two on together.
They are fucking delightful human beings.
They are.
And my hair is only because of Jessica.
Mine too, girl.
Ditto. Listen, I know. Mine could use a brushing right now, but like,
when Jessica sent me that picture, did you get your hair done like on Friday or something?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, she sent me a picture and she goes, "What do you think about this?" And I was like, "It's stunning, but you know, I see shit all the time." And I'm like, "Can you flip it around and show me who the face is?" And when I saw it with you, I was like, "That is good."
I was over it.
Well, because your before photo doesn't even look at all about what you have on your head right now.
No,
like, it's stunning.
It was ratchet.
I wouldn't say that, but it was.
I appreciate you.
It looks good. So next week we will have Kevin Bogan on
the
podcast to talk about Grand Hotel opening with the Barn Players.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I'm excited to talk to him. He's one of my people, and I've not had him on the couch, but he's been in my immediate circle for like 15 years. So
he's been in my.
He's one of my people
for a while as well.
Mm-hmm. So thank you for being on the show, Natalie.
Thank you guys.
It was a pleasure having you here.
Yes.
It was great, and we will talk to you all next week.
Yep, sounds
good. Bye-bye.
And that was this week's episode of Couch Chats. Thanks so much for listening. Tune in next week to see who we've got on the couch. New episodes are available in the KC area on KOJH 104.7 Thursdays at 2 p.m. or on iTunes. Bye.